Hi, I'm James Wedmore, host of the Mind Your Business podcast, and I've built an eight-figure-a-year company selling digital products around my knowledge and expertise. In fact, this is what I've been doing in multiple niches for the past 15 years. And if you've ever wanted to do the same, or maybe you're trying, but you can't seem to get any traction, here's how I can help. As you can guess, you need an audience if you want to sell your stuff, right? But what if I told you that you don't need a big audience? You don't need millions of followers to get started. In fact, we see that it's with just your first 100 leads where you really start getting some momentum. I mean, think about it. Imagine that you're on the stage of a room filled with just 100 people in that audience right now. That's a lot of people. You don't think that a few of them would walk up to you after your talk and ask, "Hey, how can I keep working with you?" Of course they would. And that's why I created Your First 100 Leads. It's a 14-video step-by-step training mini course that walks you through exactly how to get your first 100 leads fast. And the feedback and results from this free program have been amazing. Diane Shepherd said, "This is one of the best trainings I've ever taken." Jake Curry said, "We have had 753 people sign up for this free training. Are you kidding me?" Dan Netting said, "I'm currently going through the First 100 Leads training, and James, I gotta say, it's brilliant. This training is A to Z complete, and the best part is it's absolutely free." To register, simply click the link in the show notes of this episode. Thanks so much, and I'll see you there.
Hey, and welcome to the Ambitious Bookkeeper podcast. I'm Serena Shoup. I am a CPA and mom of three, and I'm running a virtual bookkeeping business mostly from my home. You're in the right place if you're a bookkeeper, accountant, or an accounting student, and you know that your purpose is bigger than sitting in a cubicle. If you're ready to learn some actionable tips and strategies to help you start and grow a bookkeeping or accounting business, I hope you stick around. All right. Welcome to the Ambitious Bookkeeper podcast. This is a super special episode. We are bringing back on-air strategy sessions. So today I have one of my actual students, Ashley, who is kind and brave enough to bring her roadblocks to the podcast and let me coach her through them. And hopefully this helps you as a listener get some ideas or work through your own roadblocks as well. So Ashley, will you please introduce yourself and let our audience know who you serve, kind of where your firm is at, and what you're here for today?
Sure. So I'm Ashley Lindberg, and I started my firm about 2 years ago, and I'm currently serving mostly transportation that's related to agriculture and agriculture clients. So I'm working on getting defined into that area and finding all of the tech stack that is going to work well for me. I still have a lot of the clients I took on just as random clients when I first started out, but I now have about 42 clients. And so my firm has grown substantially over 2 years' time. So, and I think that's all. I think I got all the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what can I help you with today? What do you want to focus on first? And then we'll see where we get from there, I guess.
Okay. So the biggest thing that is kind of causing me a roadblock is overwhelm. So I am overwhelmed because I have so much work to do, but I also am very goal driven. So I see like, oh, the goal is to take 3 clients on a month. Okay. I can do that. But then getting all the work done without working 70 hours a week. So I'm right at that, like, hiring somebody, growing pains, I guess. But then the overwhelm for me just is kind of a shutdown. So when I have so much to do and don't know where to start, I'm like, okay, I can look at my Asana tasks that has 121 tasks for today and be like, I just don't even know.
Yeah. I still don't know where to start.
Yeah. So that's probably overwhelm of expansion, and also talking through like, not taking people who don't fit in, that don't meet my, yes, I'm going to take them clients. I just need maybe some reassurance with that.
So, do you find yourself taking on clients that you don't actually want?
Yep.
Okay. So is it safe to say that could be adding to your overwhelm?
100%. Okay. 100%. Yeah. And I recently started this tax season, took on tax, and I walked that out to be fairly simple, and I haven't taken on anybody that wasn't already my client to do taxes, and kept that fairly small, but it's still adding to the workload of the actual like reoccurring monthly people that we're adding on. So,
yeah. So I just remembered that we did talk about that on a hot seat, mm-hmm. about doing a soft launch. So good job.
Yeah. Yes. And it worked, because if I would have done the full launch, I'm afraid that you would be visiting me at some mental health facility at this point.
Okay. So before we hit record, you mentioned that one of the things that also is kind of adding to the overwhelm is the tax thing, and mm-hmm. trying to get clear on, do you want to spend your time doing taxes or more bookkeeping? Now, mm-hmm. granted, the tax stuff isn't going to be all year.
Right.
But what is your, do you have an employee already?
I do. I have one full-time employee, and so she works for me full-time. She's a salaried employee, and I actually just put out an ad for an admin assistant because we think that's going to help both of us. She is a bookkeeper, so I'm hoping to kind of hand off some accounts to her so that we could be in a better position for me to not work so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you had a capacity discussion with her about how much?
Yes, 100%. So I have her, I mean, I don't want to overwhelm her, and I don't expect her to work more than 40 hours a week. And she's bumping right up against that because I've handed off a lot of things to her. She's very good about being like, hey, I got all my tests done. What do you need? But then I look at my list and I have to really have that self-talk about, okay, it's okay to give her this and that, and then not take it back. So I've been working on that, but I do think we're at capacity for both of us to maintain, I don't know if there is work-life balance, but to try to keep it somewhere in there. So yeah, so we do have the next steps of hiring somebody moving forward. And I think that will alleviate some of it. But then my biggest like roadblock is, okay, it comes to like, if you hire an admin assistant, they're not billing, like it's not billable hours. Yeah. Those are things that you're paying somebody to do. So I just need to maybe talk through that, or I just don't know if that's what my first brain told me was, you need an admin assistant, but really, what do I need? Another bookkeeper? What do I need?
Yeah. So. Have you, and this might be, maybe this is your assignment after this call, but are you tracking your time to see where you're spending most of your time?
Yes. Yeah, so we actually track all of our time. I am not as 100% good at it as my employee. And that's actually what we did is my executive, I don't know what she is. She's my everything. She's my unicorn. She went through and she actually tracked all of the time for our clients. And we just raised all of our prices on all of the clients that weren't being profitable. And we used that profitability. Yeah. You know, your spreadsheet gave us that. We did. We pulled the reports from Clockify, put everything in, came down. I had her figure out what we needed to charge them because I have like an emotional checkbook with like, should I do that or not? And she's like, yeah, they're $500 a month. They need raise to this. And so she just did it all. And then I reviewed it and we sent the emails out. So I feel really good about that. And we did that a week ago and I haven't heard a single word from anybody. And I think she told me this morning, there's only 3 that haven't signed their new engagement letters.
So people just signed the engagement letter. Yeah. And just said, okay.
We just sent the email that said, hey, we're raising our prices. They'll be effective April 1st. If you need to discuss it with us, you know, she did a really good job of structuring that. I think we used a template you had along with something we got from, you know, Workflow Queen and just merged it. And Grace did an excellent job sending that out. And so I feel really good about that because that was a step that needed to happen for us to bring on an admin to cover those hours, I guess.
Yeah.
I really want to work on the business and not in the business. And I think that's where my roadblock comes, because I like to do the work on client stuff, but I know to continue moving forward and get to the goals that I have, that I need to work on my business, not in my business. Mm-hmm. But then I get into like, will I make enough money? How does that work? What about, it's all the money blocks. That's what they are.
We'll be back after a quick break.
This episode of the Ambitious Bookkeeper podcast is sponsored by my brand new free training, The Ultimate Guide to Creating a Profitable Bookkeeping Business. In just 1 hour, you will learn 3 keys to creating and launching a profitable bookkeeping business. We will map out your path to creating a bookkeeping or accounting business that keeps you in control of your time, priorities, and expertise. From someone who built a 6-figure firm on part-time hours. That's right. You can stay in control of your time, keep family as your priority, and serve your clients well. It just takes a little strategy up front, and I'm going to help you with that during this free training. So head over to the show notes to sign up now for the next training and find out how you can choose the work you do, kick imposter syndrome to the curb, use tech to be super efficient, which all leads to a profitable business. Just head on over to ambitiousbookkeeper.com/training, and I will see you there.
It's a lot of things. So when you say work on your business, I like to, I guess, get clear on what part of working on your business do you enjoy the most?
I don't know that I necessarily enjoy it, other than I really like organization and systems, and I want everything to be able to, like, some random person off the street could look at my SOPs and all my things and be able to figure out what to do if they had some clue about the software. And I don't feel like I have that refined enough. And that's what holds me back from handing it off to a new person. And so, but I don't feel like I have the time to refine those. Granted, I do have a ton of systems and I do have a lot of things in place, but I don't know that it's perfection.
Yeah. They're never going to be perfect enough.
Right.
Like, they're never going to be to that point where they're constantly up to date and perfect. The point is to basically be able for it to be good enough to hand it to someone that is intelligent and can kind of interpret things. And then you kind of fill in the gaps with answering questions and coaching them. So try to let go of it not being, because I know you have processes in place. Like, it's probably 20 times better than most people. I know you.
Yes. We just revamped our entire Asana project for monthly bookkeeping clients, and it's really efficient. And so I'm feeling really good about that. I think what's holding me up right now is I need to have a team training, and I haven't worked on any of that at all because I don't have time to babysit somebody new to teach them how to do things. And so that's probably my biggest one. The other thing is that I get attached to the clients too, and I think I need to work on their stuff. I don't know. There's a lot of things, but mostly I think you're right, like letting it be good enough and letting somebody else take it on. And then, like, the other thing I know I'm really good at, I don't necessarily like it, is the sales part of it. I have a lot of people in the industry, like ag farmers, transportation. When I say that, that's like, you know, trucking companies that are hauling fertilizer and grain and things like that, that have either asked me about it or inquired, but I've never followed up with them. And I don't feel like I'm doing my sales stuff justice, but I'm reserved about that because I don't have, like, I don't want too much.
Yeah. You don't have the capacity. Yeah.
Yes,
so
yes.
Have you set up like a waitlist situation yet?
Ooh, no. Tell me about this.
Okay. So in the interim, until you can get more off of your plate and your bookkeeper's plate, and then kind of figure out, like, you know, who you need to hire next after the admin, in the interim,
why not tell people like we're at capacity, we can put you on a wait list and you'll be the first to know when we're accepting new clients or something like that. And then it buys you a little more time, or you can literally tell them, in order to kind of secure it, you could say, let's start you in June or July or whatever. And then you can, you know, go back in time and do a catch up or kind of however you want to handle that. But I think it would be good to still capture those leads and maybe do something like that. And also work towards filling the roles that need to be done during that time. That way you will have the capacity for them eventually, because it sounds like you do still want to keep growing, right?
Yeah. There's not really an end goal, but when I put down on paper 2 years ago what my vision was, I wanted to be a full charge bookkeeping accountant, tax provider. And so I have to keep going back to that and being like, okay, this is what I wanted. I even have it defined down to, I need this many bookkeepers and this many tax preparers, and this is what it looks like. And it's a nice little package and it runs by itself. And then I can start on my next idea, because that's how my brain works. And so I guess that's probably a pretty good thing to go revisit, maybe, is to look at that and look at that roadmap. I just get like overwhelmed. That's the best that I can come up with. And then I'm like, oh, I think that I envision having at least two bookkeepers and a full-time, like two full-time bookkeepers and a full-time tax preparer, and then filling in during tax season for my type of stuff. I'm really nervous. I thought about hiring like contracted work for like cleanups and things like that, because that would take quite a big chunk of projects off my plate, because most of what I'm dealing with is people who bring you a boot box full of receipts for the whole year, but they're ready to be on, you know, they're fine with going to an accounting software. They just have never had one. And so I need to that might be a good process, like as we talk through this, for me to think about, because that wouldn't be necessarily hiring somebody I need to keep forever, but I've never really had a contractor situation. And I guess it makes me nervous. I don't know.
Yeah. So. And it's kind of a preference thing. I lean more towards the same as you, where it's like, I want to make sure my process is being followed. And the best way to do that is to have an employee.
Yeah. Control.
Control. Yeah. And also that creates, you know, more continuity. I will say I do have a contractor bookkeeper that she's been with me since the beginning and feels like an employee. It is possible to find a contractor that is very loyal. So I'm not writing that off as a strategy, but would it make sense to hire a junior bookkeeper and have your current bookkeeper step into more of the project and oversight role?
Yes, that's what I foresee. And that's what I'm like, the admin assistant, like job description says light bookkeeping, because we want to pick up somebody who has that ability, and it could eventually move them into a full-time role.
Yeah. Kind of wherever is discovered that is needed most in the business. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had that forethought to keep that train going that direction, and then like make sure, and I've always had a vision for my employee I have now to be the person who runs my business when I'm not there. And we are that fit, and she's worked for me for a year and some, I don't know, over a year. And we've talked about those visions and what that looks like and the next steps and the roles that she's going to have to take to do that. I think I just have a lot on my plate. The other thing that I really am on the fence about, and I don't know if you can help me with this, we haven't really talked about it, but so I graduated and got all my college credits and all the things. And I have always, since I was like a high schooler, wanted to be a CPA. So I can sit for my test if I apply for my notice of intent to test, and I haven't done it yet. because I have so much work to do. And so I'd like to get to a point where I can be like, nope, I'm going to get my CPA and this is going to still, like, I still have to manage it. I still have to work in it, but I need to carve out that time to study and to take that test. Cause it's a, like, I'm goal oriented. I gotta hit those goals and pass that test. And so it gets down to numbers too, then, because I start looking at like my profits and things when I'm not working in the business. Maybe I'm not paying myself enough. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, I'm not counting what my time is as well as I should, maybe, or maybe not counting my time as enough money when we're looking at profitability. I don't know what that looks like, but the pricing stuff is huge and makes me super nervous and outside the box, but it worked. I mean, no one even batted an eye so far.
So you were able to increase prices enough to cover the wage of the new employee.
Yeah. So what we did is we took the Clockify for each client and figured out like what we would charge for Grace, who does most of the stuff. I'm just doing the review of the month end and then meeting with the clients usually. And then we figured my rate for that time that I'm spending doing that stuff and then whatever software we were figuring to look to see what we were charging. And you know, out of 40, well, at the time we had 37 clients, because I just took on more in the last few days, there were some of them we were really sitting very well on and doing a really good job. And of course, those are the more recent clients that we brought on, but a lot of the ones from the very beginning that I was either started out hourly or just had random whatever, those are the ones we really needed to increase. And then I think the new person will fit into some of the hours that Grace was charging for those, because they will be able to do them. So I think that I feel really good about that. But my biggest thing is like, how do I need to learn to tell people no when I have a discovery call with them, I think.
Yeah. So with the waitlist situation, can you do like a lead capture intake? Are you using Dubsado or something similar?
We are not. We started out with it and we'll go there.
It can be overwhelming for some, but what are you using in order to capture?
So for a hot minute, we were in the middle of randomness and we just had like a Google form for them to fill out. We now currently just switched. I use TaxDome for everything for taxes, and there's a process that we set up and it's live actually maybe as of today that we can do that. I have an entire Miro board set up of like step by step. I'm sure you're not surprised by this, of onboarding and how I want it to go. The problem is like I can create all those things, but getting myself, like if I handed it off to somebody else, they'd be like, yeah, they can execute it and they can say no. And I just get vested in people. I just like helping people. And that's when I feel, so I need to just, I don't know, like, yeah, it's mostly me. It's like, do as I say, not as I do.
So whatever your process is for capturing information from people, and part of it could be maybe the industry that you're working with, people want to just talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Finding a way to, so if that wasn't the case, what I would suggest is, and maybe this is the way that you go anyways, just right now while you're at capacity anyway, is having some sort of like a Google form or an intake form that captures their information, the questions that you would want to know, like before you talk to them. So like, what's their revenue? So you can see if they can actually afford you and you know, what industry they're in, what software they're using, all those basic questions that we do on our intake discovery call, making that just like an inquiry form of like, if you are interested in working with us, please fill out this form. We will let you know whether or not we want to move forward with a discovery call. If not, you know, we'll keep your information or whatever. So it gives you the option to send an email back after you read through the stuff and be more objective before you actually talk to them.
Yeah.
By just looking at the way that they answer their questions or whatever, and deciding like, do I even have time to service this client at this point? Would it be mm-hmm. worth it for us? Type of situation. Mm-hmm. That way you could just reply back and say, we're not accepting any clients at this time. We'll reach out to you in whatever, June, right? To see if you still need a bookkeeper. But that way, because I'm the same, like that's why I try to avoid getting on calls as much as possible with potential clients.
That's what I need.
Because yeah. part of it is I don't really have time for the calls.
Right.
The other part of it is that I will try to help anybody. And I know there's some clients that really I have no business working with because they can't afford our services and they don't truly need them yet. So that, you know, you can still get on the calls, but just maybe this will filter some people out as well.
Yeah, I think that might be the key. Is I don't believe that what we have going on in our automated stuff for them to fill out gives them the idea that we're also looking to see if it's a good working relationship with us, like that it's two-sided, like yeah. here it is, we'll give you a call, blah, 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 as opposed to here it is, we'll see if we can fit. And so I think that's like super good advice for me because my brain is thinking, oh, but I need. And what I really should be is like, step back. Do I want them? Is it a good fit? Like making that actual, like putting on that different hat of like, okay, is this going to work out in the long term?
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the skew in our sales or, you know, our prospect pipeline is we're not saying we'll get back to you if this is going to work for us.
Yeah.
And seeing if that is the case. So I think I'll just need to maybe revamp a little bit of what communication looks like yeah. to those prospects.
Yeah. The language in the, and I'm happy to share you can see my intake form. It's on my website. If you go to my mm-hmm. website/contact and mm-hmm. you'll see the questions I ask. One of them, a couple of them are really key in me deciding whether or not to get on a call with them. And one of them is if they value having a bookkeeper, if they see it as an important hire or whatever, I can't remember the language, but basically yeah. do you value this in your business? Mm-hmm. And I've legit had people say that they don't know, or they've never valued that in the past, but all their rich friends are telling them they need one.
You're like, oh no.
So there, you can still see red flags in a questionnaire.
Yeah.
And whatnot. So yeah. And then also like asking the industry, you can ask for their website so you can look at, you know, what kind of company they have before you get on the call. But our intake questionnaire, they fill it out. They immediately get an email that says, thank you, we've gotten your questionnaire. You should expect a response back in the next 24 to 48 hours. If we feel that we're of good fit, we'll invite you onto a discovery call, something along those lines. And then it gives, I have a day or two to kind of look at it, review it, sit on it, and then decide if I want to invite them onto a discovery call or just reply to the email and say, I've looked over your stuff, your questionnaire. Thank you so much for filling it out. At this time, I don't think we're a great fit and I may give a reason or I may not. No is a complete okay. sentence. So, and then the other response is, I've looked over your stuff, your questionnaire. Thank you so much for filling it out. I think we would be a good fit, but I would like to get on a call first to discuss, you know, your needs and more details about your business. And then also so that they can evaluate, right?
Like, yeah. We want this to be a
good working relationship. And then I'll give them the link to my discovery call with a coupon that makes it free.
Oh, tell me how that looks, because I also have realized I need to have a diagnostic process before I'm doing a proposal, because I wasn't doing a very good job with that. And then I end up with somebody who has 1,000 credit card transactions a month. And yeah. I only saw their bank statements that showed 25 transactions, you know, because
yeah.
So you charge for your discovery call then?
So yeah, I do. If someone were to just go straight to my calendar to book a discovery call without doing that intake form, they will have to answer the same questions and pay me $75. So that weeds out a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are my two ways to like weed people out. It's all basically the same questionnaire. It's just a matter of if they want to book a call first and pay for it, or if they want the ball to be in my court to reach out to them to book a call. But yeah, they pay for the discovery call, and that basically ensures that I don't get a no-show, because I really have limited amount of time I can take calls.
Yes.
And I think that you do too.
That's happened to me. $10, and it's frustrating.
I did not start out at 75. I just continue to increase it and increase it based on like my availability. I think the first time I started charging for discovery calls, it was like $15. And even that will deter people from not showing up because they don't want to lose $15. So that was kind of where I started. And I used to have them an hour long. And then I also decreased the time on a discovery call to 30 minutes.
Okay.
The reason that I have the price so high is, like I said, to weed people out, but also because I always give advice on those calls. I just can't help it.
Yeah, me too. And I'm
it's still a valuable call. Yeah, I will give them next steps of, or recommendations or whatever. So
yeah,
that was my other reasoning for that. But to answer your question about the discovery or the diagnostic process, that is something that you will want to talk about on your discovery call of, great information. Thank you for filling out the questionnaire. However, usually we get into the books if you have existing books and realize that you might have forgotten about a bank account. And so just to ensure that we give an accurate quote, so we don't have to raise prices immediately, I'm going to ask for access to your QuickBooks so that I can do kind of like a diagnostic look, take a peek under the hood, understand really what we're getting into. And I charge, if you're going to charge for that, you would say.
I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so. Cause like all my time is worth something at this point.
Yeah. And we always say like, I charge $500 for that. But if you engage us either for a cleanup or catch up or monthly service, depending on what we find in the diagnostic, you can roll that into your first invoice. So it's very low risk for them. It's only a risk if they don't engage us, but then I took on the risk of taking the time to look things over, and then I'll give them a report of it at the end. Like what we found, if there's corrections that are going to need to be made, and they can have us do them or they can give it to another bookkeeper. I'm very detached from that.
Okay. Yeah. And I have, so what's funny is I have the process for all that set up. I just wasn't utilizing any of it or charging for it. And it was just my mistake to be like, just skipping steps, don't do as I do.
Yeah.
Do as I say. So I think I like the rolling it into the first invoice though, because for me, it makes me feel better that then they're not just paying. If they are going to just take it and do it themselves, cool. That's great. I got paid for what I did. But then if they're moving into it, it gives them kind of a, not really a discount, but like a good.
Yeah, because we've already done a lot of the heavy lifting that's going to be involved in that cleanup, the analyzing of it. And so yeah, you're not going to have to do that again once you take over their stuff. And then that will absolutely weed people out. There's going to be people that don't want to pay for that. But if they're not willing to pay for that, then how willing are they going to be to pay for your bookkeeping? Right. So that's just something that you're just going to have to, you're going to have to be okay with people saying no.
I am. And I think that I kind of am past people telling me no, it's me telling somebody else, no, they're not a good fit. And maybe, I mean, I know where I want to go, but then I have a few other little caveats that I kind of I should have probably said no, but I recently took on two like Chamber of Commerce type organizations, and they were big cleanup jobs, and they're month to month, and they're very kind of hands off. I only am going to meet with them quarterly, but they were willing to do what I needed to get everything in order. And I still, you know, I'm in their books monthly. I'm just not doing a debrief meeting with them until quarterly because there's not a lot going on, but there's enough. So I'm always like, oh, maybe I should switch niches. No. So I just need to maybe revisit like my clients that are, I guess you say a hell yeah or a hell no. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And just because you have a niche doesn't mean that you can't take on other clients that don't fit that niche, especially okay. if they're going to be good to work with. And yeah. it's on the same software or whatever, and it's not too different of a process for you. I wouldn't say that you can't. I mean, I still take on people that are not in my niche too, if I feel like they're going to be a good fit otherwise. And so don't let that make you feel like you have to now change niches or whatever. The beauty of having the niche is that like, you're going to just continue to get referrals in that yeah. niche without really mm-hmm. having to work for it. And or it's easier to market to one niche, but people will still come to you from other niches and you can be picky. And your excuse could be you're not in my niche if you don't want to work with them.
Oh, yes. Okay. I never thought about it pegging it that way because that would make it easier for me to be like, you're not a fit because I mostly only handle this, and this, you know, yeah. But then there are those people that I have brought on that I'm like, oh, this is great. Like they're great clients. They always, I mean, I just onboarded one of them. We started onboarding on Monday and she had everything done by Thursday, by today, this morning. And I was just like, whoa, I did a call with her before I got on the hot seat call this morning. And she's like, okay. And I was like, the only thing I'm missing is this. And she just emailed it to me. Like I'm in.
Yeah.
So yeah. So you're right. Like kind of get a feel for it, but really I will take a look at your intake form and maybe that's where we start to help me do justice for myself, I guess, yeah. in making the right decisions and taking 2 days before they can fill it out, get the call, book the call.
Yeah.
Those are all super helpful.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is to like, some of us just have personalities that we have to put guardrails around certain things. Yes. Like some of us have money things and we have to put guardrails like profit first in place. And some right. of us have like boundary issues and we have to put guardrails around our time. So it's just a matter of knowing yourself. And yeah, if you don't need the clients right away, but you mm-hmm. need time in your day, then finding a way to filter out people that are not going to be a good fit, that they can self-filter out by doing this questionnaire. And then that way you're preserving the time that you do have to deliver on your current clients, train your new employees, and do all that. Doesn't mean that you can't turn that off later when you want more leads. You know what I mean? You yeah. have the ability to, okay, now we're in a place where we all have capacity. I'm just going to remove the questionnaire and get on calls again. Mm-hmm. You have it's your business. You can do right. that whenever you want.
Yeah. And in my mind, I had set up like we could take 3 to 4 new clients every month, but that just snowballs. I mean, I've taken January, February, March, and now right now I already had decided, okay, I'm not going to take anybody till May because I have so much work to do, but I think I also want like the capturing of the leads and that questionnaire gives me more confidence that in the future, or if they really want to work with me, they'll wait type thing.
Yeah.
And then I can feel better about giving value to my current and new clients and making sure all the work is done. And obviously tax season will resolve itself in a little over a month and that will help a lot of things too. But I don't really want to fill that time with me working on client stuff. I want to fill that with me growing my business. So
yeah. I was going to say one other thing about that. So mm-hmm. you could put that at the top of your questionnaire right now when you do this right after this call. Just kidding.
Yes, you know you should, me. It will happen.
You could put that at the top of your questionnaire and just make sure you set a task for yourself to update it in May or whatever of, we are currently booked out and not accepting new clients until May. If you are, you know, if you want to be on our list so that you're the first to know when we have a spot available, fill out this form. And that way it's like, you're just communicating upfront immediately yeah. about your availability. And I think that's, it's better than agreeing to get on phone calls when you know that you don't have capacity to serve them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm going to spend assuming I find a good fit for the, you know, for the new hire, I need that extra time in April to get them up and running. And, you know, I put it at 5 to 10 hours a week, but that could change pretty quickly if it's the right person, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that that's probably going to be Grace is going to be like, okay, Ashley was on a call with Serena. We're doing all this stuff again. But she's excellent. Yeah. Like I literally will just be like, here's what I think, here's what I want to do. And she's able to do it. And that communication factor is huge. I am not the executor. I am the visionary. I am the all the things, and learning where I fit in that is huge. It's been big for me to know things I can and can't do. Like I can't raise prices. I need you to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Here's the tool.
Yeah. It is totally okay. We get in this trap of thinking that we should be strong at all of the things that we've had to wear our hats on or wear whatever. You get what I'm saying.
I got you.
We feel like we need strengths in all those areas because we've been doing them, but once you start hiring people, then you can start saying, okay, this is actually not my strength. I was doing it because I had to. This is now your thing. So that's great that you have a person that you can delegate things to. So the other thing that I would suggest is talking to her to see if she would be willing to train the new person in the bookkeeping stuff. So you may want to train her in the administrative stuff, or maybe she will, but maybe talking to her about splitting the training so that she gets training with both of you. And even if it's like the light bookkeeping, like just have her train her on bank feeds for 2 or 3 clients. That'll get stuff off of her plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can take off more off of your plate as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been working through that. Like as part of our Asana, we have a tag that says HO, which means handoff. So anything we think we can hand off to the new person has a tag on it. And I haven't ran the tag list, but I'm kind of scared to look to see what both Grace and I have decided to hand off. Cause I'm pretty sure it's probably more than the 5 to 10 hours.
Probably.
But we have a system and that at least gives us an idea of what we might want a handoff.
Good.
And as far as that stuff goes, it's I really think filtering and charging for my time, you know, filtering new clients and charging for my time is going to make me feel like I am still doing justice of capturing people I might want to work with, but not wasting time that I don't have.
Yeah.
So I think those are all baby steps but we are just working on that new onboarding pipeline for new clients. And we just need to tweak it a little bit to make it reflect that language like we talked about. So I'm really excited about that. So
yeah. So your homework is to do that intake form, put at the top that you're, you know, booked out until May, basically. Then you can reevaluate whether or not you want to keep the intake form up in May or change the wording or whatever. Work on, you know, basically a list of things you want this new person to do and who's training her on what or him. And what was your other homework? I had one other thing. It might come to me later.
the wait list,
which is kind of the same as the intake form. You can just put people on it's going to capture, hopefully it'll be in a spreadsheet or something where it's going to capture their information. So when you do have freed up capacity, you can go through that list and contact people and follow up with them.
Right. And then talk to my current employee about training my new employee. So that's not it. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. I like it.
Yeah. So I am so, so proud of you. You're doing amazing.
Thank you.
And definitely keep me posted on how all of that goes. If I think of the third thing, I will send you a message.
Okay. I want to let you know, you said you're going to be traveling in June. Is that right? So I, like, this is total side note, but I ordered a new Bronco forever ago, like before we ever met in person. And I finally have a production date for it. And when it gets here, I'm going to make a road trip. And my sister lives in LA, but I'm going to come down your way because we have some friends that moved to Prescott and see them. And so I would like to maybe have coffee or something. And then I'm going to go to LA and hopefully meet some other people in our realm out that way and just kind of have a road trip and do that. I think mine is going to be July, but I don't know. It might be too hot for me then. We'll see.
It's not too hot. I mean,
there. Yeah.
It's not too hot here. If you stay up in the mountains, you'll be fine.
Okay.
Just stay up in Northern Arizona. It'll be fine.
Sometime this summer that I'm like, yep, going to take my new vehicle and we're going to go on a road trip. So
that's so exciting. Congratulations. Yeah.
Hence the reason I don't want to work 70 hours a week.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other question we didn't talk about is the CPA thing. So your first immediate thing is to just free up your time. And I think this will help. You'll onboard the new person. Mm-hmm. If you can get your hours working in and on your business down to 40, you can absolutely do the CPA stuff as your side thing.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly, like, this is why I'm tapping up against 65, 70 hours a week, is because I'm taking 5 hours a week to study for it already.
Okay.
But that doesn't help my overwhelm, because who can maintain that for very long? Not very many people, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I need to filter, and I need to, like, be okay with a wait list and all the things so that I can prioritize what needs to happen next. And that's one of the things I absolutely want to do. So,
yeah. Yeah. The CPA exam will always be there waiting.
Unfortunately. I mean,
it's not going anywhere, but I think focusing on getting more time back in your day so that you can actually allocate the energy to studying.
Yes. Yes. Cause it's getting the last version of it. And then it may not even be doing me any justice at the end of the day. So
yeah. All right.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to have your own one-on-one strategy session with me, head over to the show notes to click the link and schedule your own strategy session. You can also join our monthly small group mentoring calls. Our first one is at the very end of March, so head over to the show notes and click the link to join that as well. All right, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope this was valuable to you and you're able to implement something you've learned from today. See you next week. Thank you to everyone who helps make this podcast possible. Content and interviews are produced by me, Serena Hsu. Our intro and outro music is written and performed by my brother, Ian Gilliam. Editing is also by Ian, using his awesome sound engineering skills along with Descript software. Hosting and publishing is by Buzzsprout. And you can check out the show notes for links to all of these amazing resources and resources mentioned in the episode.
Be ambitious.